Well, good morning, and I'm excited to be here this morning, and I hope you are also excited to be here. We've gotten through the week, and I hope that you are here to encourage and be encouraged by each other and by the message that God has brought to us this morning. I certainly am. And this morning, as we've remembered Rupert, the one thing that sticks out to me is it's already been alluded to. When you asked him how he was, he would respond, blessed. And it wasn't just something that he said. You could tell when you asked Rupert that, in his face, in the way he responded, that that was a reality that he lived in. Not just what he said when he was asked, how you're doing. And I admit that too often when people ask me after the end of the week, how are you doing, how was your week, I'm tempted to say, wow, busy, man, I'm stressed out. And I wonder how many of you can empathize with me. In Guatemala last year, a disaster occurred that they call a sinkhole. And this sinkhole was in Guatemala when a large portion of the ground literally caved in. It was a hole that was over 330 feet deep. It swallowed cars, over a dozen homes, caused the evacuation of over 1,000 people, and even claimed the life of 2 people. And a sinkhole, I read, occurs usually in a time of drought when the underground streams or sewers run dry and the ground above it loses the support that it once had. And when those streams run dry, the pressures, the superficial pressures that come on top of the ground are too much for it to hold. And eventually, the earth starts to cave in, swallowing everything all around it. And after this tragedy in Guatemala, one of the newspapers in the area ran a couple of days later an article, and the title read, "Could this tragedy have been prevented?" And they went around and they asked people that lived in the area, and they said, were there any warning signs that this was going to happen? And sure enough, everyone they talked to said, you know what, I started smelling really weird sounds coming up from below. Smelling sounds, did I say? Smelling weird smells. I started hearing very strange rumblings coming from the ground. We even started feeling the ground shake before it collapsed. And they said, perhaps, yes, we could have thought maybe there's a way to prevent this. And I started to think in our own lives how often we're headed for tragedy. How often our foundation, those streams that hold our outer appearance, our outer activities in support are running dry. And whether or not we can prevent that. And I think a lot of you will be able to empathize and say, well, look at my week. It's always something. There's always another project. There's always more pressure at work. There's always something more to do. And when I finish one thing, it's on to the next thing. And I've got the exams, and I've got the workload, and I've got the sermon to prepare for. My boss wants my reports. And when you finally get yourself ready and prepared to go do things, you run outside frantically ready to answer the voices that are constantly pressuring you, and you turn the ignition and the car doesn't start. And when you finally finish your sermon notes, you inexplicably lose them. And when the report's finally done, you click the X on Microsoft Word, and you forgot to save it. And you know what I'm talking about. It's one thing after another. And if it's not the pressure of getting things done, rising to the expectations that everyone else has for you, it's just your uncontrollable circumstances that will not go your way. And eventually, people come to you and say, wow, how's your week been? And you say, I'm stressed. I'm dealing with all of my own problems. I'm trying to keep up. I'm frantically running here and there. And then added on to that, there's the family problems and everyone's trying to get me to help them. And I have enough on my plate as it is. And then when you realize that the car hasn't worked, you start to think, man, I'm going to have to pay that bill. And now all of a sudden, I'm thinking not just about my activities, but how am I going to pay this new bill? That reminds me of all the other bills I haven't paid yet. How are we going to get through this? And all of a sudden, we start to hear rumblings from below. And the pressures that are coming from the outside seem to be so heavy that they threaten to cave in our lives. How am I going to deal with this? It's going to take everything my hopes, my plans, the things I wanted to accomplish, the things I wanted to do. And maybe some of us have already come to the place where things have already caved in, and we look around and say, this is disaster. I can't believe I didn't see this coming. And maybe even worse, some of us have got accustomed to the hole. We've got accustomed to having not a whole lot going. And instead of replying to people when they ask us how we are, oh, I'm so busy and so stressed, we say, I'm fine. Well, what'd you do this week? And we say, nothing. Same old. Not too exciting. Nothing's happening. Just another week. Just getting by. Going through. And we've become satisfied with that hole. With that nothingness. We heard read this morning already, Psalm 62. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn there and we're going to take a closer look. And right from the beginning, we find something that I believe in our lives, for many of us, is a very, very challenging statement. The psalm opens like this: my soul finds rest in God alone. My soul finds rest only in God. And as we dive into this, the first thing I want to point out to you is a slightly more literal translation. If you take this right out of the Hebrew, it literally says, only in God does my soul grow silent. Only in God does my soul grow silent. And this is important because you know all of the voices that invade your innermost being, the things that stress you out, the things that you can't get out of your head that all week are pressures upon you, pressures to rise to the expectation of your boss, of your family members, of your friends, to provide a certain amount of money, to be able to pay the bills, to be able to do the things that you want to do with your money, with your time, with your energy, to be successful. And the voices that come from the outside are so loud. And the first thing that we read in the psalm is, my soul grows silent only in God. And it's important because the psalmist, as he goes along, acknowledges that we all have the loud voice. He says, he continues, he alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. And let's stop there for 1 second, and this is a verse that you might see on an encouragement card, right? If you've been in church for long enough, this is a verse that if someone's going through a rough time, you might write down in them, Psalm 62, 1 and 2, here you go. And it's easy for us to glaze over it as, yes, my soul rests in God, okay. But we need to understand how important it is to understand this, that our soul grows silent only in God, because the next thing the psalmist does is present to us a number of voices from the outside. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouth they bless, but in their hearts they curse. It is not easy to go through this life because there are loud voices that continually bring you down, that hold you back. People that present themselves to you as a great and gracious person, and you know they go and they slander you. They take down your reputation. They're working against you. And this is a common thing. We all inherently, I think, have this this drive to almost be proud of the hardships we go through, right? I mean, have you ever done that where you come to church or school, your work, whatever, and you're asking people, how are you doing? And someone says, wow, life's been tough this week. And they list off a laundry list of why their week has been so difficult. And then you look back at them and you say, you think that's bad? Listen to my week. You don't have it bad. You should think about how many assignments I've had to do, the essays I've had to do, the family problems I've been dealing with, the things at work that are expected out of me. And it's almost like we're trying to top each other on how busy and stressed out we can be. Like there's some sort of prize for having the most frantic life. You ever find yourself doing that? Can't believe my week. You know, I have this friend, and we've been friends since high school, and near the end of high school, we sat down together. It was about this time of year, and we both really have a passion for getting outside and barbecuing. And we sat down one day, kind of end of April, beginning of May, and we said, this summer, before, you know, this was kind of the beginning of university, before we get into, you know, life where we have so many responsibilities and things to deal with, why don't we take this summer, and we'll work our jobs during the day, but let's take some serious time to relax. Let's get out here and barbecue 2-3 times a week. We'll do it all the time. And we were all excited. Great, this is going to be a great summer. We're really going to have a good time and enjoy some good food and friendship and just relaxing. Then at the end of the summer, we got together again and recounted how few times we actually got together, let alone got together and restfully enjoyed just hanging out with our friends and barbecuing. And he listed all these things. Well, I needed more money for university, so I took another job. And I came back and said, you took another job. I took 2 more jobs. I had 3 jobs. And we started listing. And all these things that we did, and we said, yeah, we were way too busy to do that. And so we said, next year. We'll try again next year. And so the next summer, we said again, okay, this is going to be the summer. And then at the end of the summer, we got together, and we recounted all of the reasons why it was impossible that we could have slowed down. We needed more jobs, and this happened, and that happened, and then, oh yeah, I had to do this. And you know what? We never got around to having that summer where we constantly just made time to sit back, to relax, and to enjoy our summer. And all of the complaining that we did, and all of the listing of good, well-intentioned things that we filled our time with, never really made a difference. And the psalmist starts out by saying, my soul grows quiet only in God. And then he lists some difficulties. He lists some voices that come at people. And then in verse 5, he comes back and he says once again, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. And this is a very close repetition to the first verse. He says once again, only in God does my soul grow quiet. Except what we don't pick up in the English is that the verb form changes. This time, after he's listed his troubles, he reproclaims this truth, except this time we should probably put an exclamation mark or a surely. It's this, surely only in God my soul grows silent. This is not, I've listed my problems and now there's not much we can do about it. Yes, there are voices. Yes, there are stresses. There are pressures. There are things coming at me. But surely it's only in God that my soul grows quiet. And it's not the only thing that he adds. The next line says, my hope comes from him. My hope comes from him. My expectation, my plans, the things that I want to do. He continues, my salvation and honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. It's my deliverance. It's my reputation. It's my purpose that comes from God. And why do we grow silent before God in the first place? We grow silent because we've talked enough. Because there are enough loud voices telling us what we can't do and providing obstacles, stresses, and pressures. We grow silent before God and only God because that is where we find our purpose. That's where we get our hope, our expectations, the things that we are meant to do in this world. Sometimes I wonder if we frantically race around to accomplish all of the activities, the church things, the school things, the work things, the family things, and we're frantic here and there. Do you ever stop and when you have that minute to think about your spiritual life, you wonder why more of your neighbors and friends and community members aren't coming to you to hear about the peace that you proclaim God has given you? Let me say it again. As you go out and frantically try and accomplish everything and answer all of the voices that come to you, do you wonder why you're not more effective in spreading the peace of God? Why people aren't coming to you and saying, I need some of this peace? Because we're frantically trying to answer the voices just like they are. Instead, We need to grow silent before God. Because in the silence, we hear His voice. Not the voice of the pressures, not the voice of the bank, not the voice of our family members, not the voice of our boss. We grow silent to hear the hopes and dreams and expectations that God has for our life. And this is what sets us apart. This is what gives us peace. This is where we find rest. Because as we go out of that silence, we are no longer trying to appease all of the pressures and the voices. We're no longer trying to be more successful, more powerful, richer in the eyes of everyone else. We're trying to fulfill our God-given hope and expectation to be effective for the purposes that He's given to us. And this is exciting. We do this, we grow silent in our souls so that we can dream big. And not just dream big for what we want, but so that we can dream the dreams that God has for us. Because when we are silent and hear His voice, what He wants for our lives, the things He wants to accomplish through us, we can get excited because we're now dreaming the dreams that God has for us. Our expectation is in what He's doing, not in what I'm doing. I'm doing His work, not my work. And I know that no matter what happens, if I'm doing His work, He will provide for it. When I'm trying to do my work, the best case scenario is I succeed and I gain my rewards, what I want. See, if you've ever been camping or to a cottage and someone started a bonfire, you know that the bonfire is a magnet. Right? You start a fire just about anywhere, and people are drawn to it. Before long, everyone's standing around staring at the fire. And I believe sometimes as Christians, we've let our fire dwindle down to ashes. And then we wonder why people aren't flocking to the fire. We need to grow silent in our souls before God so that we can hear His voice, so He can rekindle that passion, that fire. The purpose, guidance, and wisdom that He wants to speak into our lives that gives us meaning, value. He goes on in verse 8. And now it seems as though we switch from the personal pronouns, from him, the psalmist, understanding that in my life I need to grow silent. In my life, I find rest in God. And now he's pushing it outwards. He's encouraging the community. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts, for God is our refuge. You see, if we dream big with God, if we dream the dreams of God, if we capture the passion and the mission that He's given us for our lives, then we have the freedom to trust God that that plan is the best possible way to live, that that plan will be accomplished by Him and not by us. And so He says, quiet yourself so that you get that hope and that expectation. And then when all those voices come and hold you back from it and say, you can't do this, here's another obstacle. Here's another obstacle. Here's why this isn't going to happen. Then he says, trust in God. And more than that, pour out your heart to him. When you think you have to give up, when you think there are too many obstacles, when you're discouraged, when you think it's not going to work, when you're worried, when you're stressed out, pour out your heart. Trust that God is accomplishing it. Why? Because God is our refuge. He's our safe place. He's the one that's making this happen. He's running the show. And it seems risky because if you think in your own life, you wonder how many people are you comfortable pouring out your heart to? How many people are you willing to give your entire insides to? Everything that you feel, all of your fears, all of your hurts, all of your desires and wants. And you wonder how many people, on top of being able to trust them, could do anything about it. And as humans, it's risky for us. We can't just go to anyone and pour out our hearts. He says, trust in God. And when the plans don't seem to be going the way you want them to, pour out your heart to Him. Get back to that place where your hope and expectation is coming from His plan and not your plan. There was a woman who, she taught choir in high school. And when she began her program, there was maybe just 15 students, and choir wasn't the cool thing to do. But she worked so hard at it. And this was her dream and her drive. And eventually the program in her high school rose to over 100 kids, and it became the class, the program to be in. And after a while, she found herself making plans to move on from that. She was getting married and moving, and she planned to start teaching somewhere else. And so as her finale, she decided to enter her choir, her kids, into a very prestigious choir competition, where one of the most prestigious judges in the world would be presiding. And when she told her kids, they were excited, and she picked a piece that was difficult, complex. It sped up and slowed down. It grew louder and then quiet. And the kids complained and said, why do we have to do this one? It's so heavy. And the words are in another language. Why don't we pick something else? And the teacher, after hearing much complaining, looked at her students and said, you don't always get to pick the song. But if you trust me, we'll make beautiful music. And so the students practiced hard, and they had fun trying to hone their skills and get the song down, and they went to the competition. They stood there nervously, and as she got up to conduct, she could tell that they'd poured everything into this. When they came down from the stage, they all ran to the bus excited. The teacher knew that this was the best performance that they'd ever given. They've never done better than this. And as she brought the sealed envelope back with their mark and got on the bus, they were all eager to know, how'd we do? How'd we do? What does it say? This judge, what does he think? And she opened it and she read to them a simple statement. Now this is music. And then beside it, their mark, superior, the highest mark that they could get. And it was the finale she had looked for, the success that had come. And she went away with all of her plans to move on to her next life, her next teaching job, her new marriage, excited. And shortly after the contest, she, getting into bed, stumbled, fell. She woke up in the hospital to a doctor who did not mince any words and said, I'm sorry, you're a quadriplegic. You fell on your neck. You will never walk again. You'll never move your legs or arms or sit up. And I'm sorry to tell you, but you'll never sing again. And devastated, in the quietness of a hotel room, she went to God. God, why? Why couldn't you have given me an easier path? Why this? And she writes, in the quietness of that moment, she heard the Lord whisper, you don't always get to pick the songs, but if you trust me, we'll make beautiful music. And as the road to recovery began, she found herself encouraged, ready for a new challenge. Her impact was no longer more in the high schools, but became in her church, in her women's groups, for prisoners, for teenagers. She formed choirs. She directed them. She even regained her singing voice. And she had to sit back and say, now this is music. You see, when we trust and pour our hearts out to God, we know that He is our safe place. He's our refuge. We know that no matter how hard we strive in life, we will never accomplish without God the things that He has for us. The better way, the more fulfilling way, to be filled with purpose and meaning and value that transcends money or success or looking good in the eyes of the people around us. And instead of frantically running, stressing ourselves out over every activity, we find ourselves blessed to be in the service of God, to be following His path, even when it gets difficult, even when there's obstacles, even when it's not the way we wanted it to turn out. We don't always pick the songs. But if we can learn to trust our God, pour out our hearts, dream His dreams, and dream them big, we will find ourselves blessed to have the power and love of God spoken into the silence of our lives and spoken through the silence of our lives. The psalmist goes on and interestingly points out that money is not the answer. And money has not come into play yet, but all of a sudden he says, do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. It's like he's kind of throwing this in. By the way, I know for a lot of you this is going to be financial. If you have money or you don't have money, doesn't matter. It's not going to make a difference. If you don't have money and you think the answer is, once I get enough money, then I will have more hope. Things will turn around. Do not trust. And if riches increase, do not think that's going to solve all your problems. Don't think that your frantic life will all of a sudden be quieted because you have money. And if you already have money, don't think that you've arrived. Don't think that you don't have any problems. Don't think that everything's going to be okay. And don't look for the easy way out. Don't rob. Don't extort. Don't lessen your standards thinking that the results will make everything better, because they won't. Trust in God, not in things. We finally read, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. Surely you are strong. Surely you can do all things. And the power that you bring, the power that speaks into our silence from God, is the power to love. It's the power to make an impact through Christ's love with the people that you rub shoulders with every day. And that's what we lose when we can't quiet ourselves, when we don't listen to God, when we don't go back to that source that gives us our purpose and meaning. We become ineffective. And people don't flock to us wanting the love and peace of Christ because we're not accepting it and we're not reflecting it. There is power in the plans of God, and the power is to love. And He's going to choose the song. It may be that He chooses to give you money so that you can bless people. It may be that He gives you this skill or that skill or a certain ability and a purpose to use the power He gives you to love and make a difference in the world that you live in. And so how do we come to a place where we can grow silent? Of utmost importance is that we start to listen, and I want to give you a couple of suggestions, ways that we can practically try and quiet the voices that are from without, the stresses that are weighing down on us, to build our foundation. Because this is not an attempt to run away from our stresses. It's not looking for the easy way out. It's not God is a genie getting rid of all of the stresses. Life comes with pressures. We need to learn to live silently within so that we act from a place of calm, to be less frantic. Number one, take the silent moments of your day. When you wake up, those first moments, maybe you're the first one up in your house, the silence. Maybe you're the last one to go to bed at night. Maybe you can find a moment of silence there. In your car while you're driving to work, the radio doesn't always have to be on. Traffic can be a wonderful place where you can sit in silence and ask God to fill you with His plan and purpose for your day. Your lunch hour can be taken to find some place that you can retreat to that is quiet. And some of you say, well, I don't have these quiet times. We need to find them. You need to find them in your day. And when you have the chance, take that advantage. The second, if you have the opportunity to completely withdraw for a longer period of time, I can't express to you the blessing this has been in my life. A year ago, I had the chance to go away for 2 days all by myself up north. And I took my Bible and some books and said, God, I want to sit down and plan with you. I want to dream big. And in the last couple of weeks, as I've looked back on that page that I wrote, the dreams that I wrote out, the things that I said, God, this is my heart. This is what I want to do. Is it your will? I can't tell you the blessing it is to look back and be watching God accomplish certain things and continue to bring other things to completion. Things that I wrote down thinking, this is kind of crazy. God, I'm dreaming big with you. Is this your will for my life? And in quietness and in prayer, writing down what I felt God was leading me towards. And again, I can't tell you the blessing it is to look back and see how, not me, but God is bringing those things about. If you can, take time to withdraw, set goals, plan with God. Ask him what he has for your next year, your next 2 years, the next month, whatever it is. Number three, our recreation time. Interesting that our English word for this is recreation. We think of this as time we can just have fun, whatever we want to do. But if this is actually recreation time, then we shouldn't be surprised that if all we do in our recreation time is watch TV, that what is recreated in our life is what we see on TV. If all we do in our recreation time is complain about all the stresses of our lives, why should we be surprised that what we recreate is those stresses? Listen, take your recreation time and be recreated by the one who has a plan for you. If you're worried about money, start to learn how to do activities that don't cost anything in the presence of God. Enjoy nature. Enjoy a long walk. If you're worried about the joy that's lost in your family, use your recreation time to do fun and goofy things with your family. Have a games night. Go do something that you all enjoy. We need to use our recreation time in the presence of God to recreate who we are, to find those things that give us that joy. And instead of mulling over the stresses or taking the easy recreation where we can just sit and turn our brain off, use some of those recreation times to recreate who you are, who your family is, what your purposes are. Finally, we need to learn that a quietness of soul is something that we need to live out of. It's not just when we physically remove ourselves from the loudness of the world. It's the fact that we need to take those times, that quietness, that voice, that whisper from God, and no matter how large the stress and how loud the voice, as we walk out deep within, we have a silence. And that silence is where we allow God to speak, where we see all the events that are taking place, not as the things we have to do or the stresses that we have to take care of, but we see those things the way that God wants us to see it, the opportunity he's given us to fulfill our purpose and our meaning, the opportunity he's giving us to minister. And then we pour out our heart, and it's not always easy, and we have to work at it, and we still have to engage in a stressful, pressure-filled world. But we go out with the attitude that we're blessed, because we have a deeper purpose. We have a deeper wisdom. We have one who guides us. But we have to enter that rest. Understand that we have to enter that rest to allow God to take that place, to silence all the other voices, and only in God to become quiet. Father, we thank you that you are our refuge, you're our fortress, you're our salvation. You save us from this world, you save us from being slaves to the pressures and expectations that are all around us. God, we thank you that we have a greater purpose, a greater meaning, and that it's exciting that we can change every moment, every mundane thing into a powerful experience of you in this world, and that there is power that you will work in your love to affect this world. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.